This podcast is for entertainment purposes only and does not contain or replace your own financial, tax, legal, or financial product advice.
Hello, welcome to My Millennial Money Express. I'm Glenn Jameson. Today I'm joined by Vince Scully from Life Sherpa. G'day, Vince. How are you?
G'day, Glenn. Good to be on the Express.
Thanks for being here. Now, there was a question that was sent in anonymously about dividend reinvesting, and I'm going to read it out. Hello, it's great to have a simple source of financial information to access, so thanks very much for that. I'm currently 26 and have recently built a share investment portfolio, a couple of ETFs, and other directly purchased shares. And they said, sorry, Glenn, because I'm a fan of spreading risk.
Yep.
I heard you mention the importance of reinvesting your dividends, which I'd be more than happy to do, but how exactly do I do this? Now, I don't know if I've harped on about reinvesting that much, but I guess let's start with the practicalities. How does someone go about electing to reinvest their dividends? So we'll pick a company, call it Woolworths, and they want to reinvest their dividends. Okay. Who do they contact and how do they do that?
Well, for companies that have dividend reinvestment plans or DRPs, you can usually tell the registrar, which is usually Computershare or Link, and they'll have a form that you just tick the box and your dividends will be reissued as shares. There are a handful of companies that have special forms of these, like AFIC, for example, has got a thing called a dividend share substitution plan, which means you don't actually get a dividend, you get bonus shares instead, and there's all sorts of tax implications for that. And then there's the receive the cash in your bank account and choose where to reinvest it. And that last one is often the most practical answer.
So why would somebody, do you think, and I don't like using the word should, but why would you suggest that somebody not reinvest their dividends, or why would you suggest somebody do reinvest their dividends?
Well, the traditional reason for participating in the dividend reinvestment plan, or DRP, was that you often got a big discount. So most of the big listed companies would give you a 5 or 10% discount on the share purchase price if you were in the plan. Now, those discounts have largely disappeared. There's still a handful of them around. So that's reason number one. Reason number two is that you get to buy shares without paying brokerage. 10 years ago, that was a big deal when brokerage was 1%. Mm. Today, when it's $9.95, it's less of a deal. But the biggest reason not to do it, in my book, is that it creates a whole bunch of paperwork. So if you own, for example, Vanguard Australian shares or VAS, it pays a quarterly distribution. So you're going to end up with four new parcels of shares every year. And there's just the paperwork involved in tracking that for a capital gains tax. And you also don't get control over when you buy. So you will get allocated your shares on the day they happen to go.
Which can be good and bad.
Which can be good and bad. But you don't get to choose whether you're investing. So you're pre-committing to buying something in the future at a price you've got no idea what it's going to be. That's both good and bad. Mm. It's good because it takes the emotion out of it, and it's bad because you might be buying stuff when you otherwise wouldn't have bought it.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, dividend reinvesting, if you are buying in stocks that have juicy dividends, I think it's important to note whether you reinvest the dividend or not, it's deemed income.
That's
the
right.
The fact that you reinvested, it doesn't mean you don't pay tax on that income.
Unless you're in the DSSP plan.
Yes. Explain that.
This is there's a handful of old companies got them. AFIC's got one. I think Argo's got one. But the deal is that you get issued bonus shares instead of a dividend. So it doesn't turn up in your...
Oh, it's a capital.
Yeah. So it doesn't turn up in your income statement from a tax perspective until you actually sell.
Sell, yep.
Now, the downside is you don't get the franking credit and you don't get the LIC capital gains offset. So it really works for top rate taxpayers.
So I guess back to the, if you had a share portfolio of 12 shares, for example, the suggested way that what I'm hearing you saying, if they did pay dividends, some of these shares, pay the dividend to your cash account on your platform.
Yep. And then make a positive decision as to where it's going to go.
And you're saying that, well, for example, it could prevent portfolio drift. So if you've got, I want this share here to be 8% of my portfolio, if you've got DRP, it could drift to be 12% and you've got to sell it anyway.
That's right. Especially if you were, for example, to buy, say, 50% Australian, 50% global shares, and you reinvested every dividend, over time, your Australian component's going to get bigger and bigger and bigger because the US component doesn't pay dividends.
Yeah. So, and dividends are a real Aussie thing, aren't they?
They are. And that's largely a tax thing because in Australia, the tax paid by the company gets credited to the shareholder when they get a dividend. And that tax credit is worth nothing to the company until the point that they actually distribute it.
Mm.
Whereas in the US, capital gains are taxed very concessionally. And so you would much rather the company kept it and you got a capital gain instead of getting income.
And I guess
similarly in the UK.
It does go back to what your personal goal and situation is. So, for example, me, I've got some ETFs. Some of them have dividends.
Yep.
I've got DRP turned on because my thing is I just want to grow each fund.
Yep.
So I really don't care that they are reinvested, but and thankfully the way I invest, my bookkeeper can actually track that. So I guess it's that trade-off with simplicity, whether I, if I'm adding money to my share brokerage account every month, then you've got dividends coming in. Well, hey, I've got a mental threshold. Once that cash hub builds up to $5,000, I'll then choose where I want to buy shares.
There's no doubt about it.
Or whatever.
Putting it on autopilot is the line of least resistance. Mm. You just tick the box and compound interest goes to work. The downside, as I said, is you don't get to choose the price you're buying. And you still have to deal with the tax.
And a little bit of brokerage.
Yeah. So, and if you've got small holdings, it can become a real problem. Mm. So, for example, getting back to our friend Vanguard Australian Shares, share price is about $86, I think. So if your dividend is less than a multiple of $86.
It's actually $76.
$76, yes. Okay.
You're a couple of months out of date.
So if you get a dividend less than $76, you don't get a share. Your $76 just sits in Vanguard's bank account.
In the ether.
In the ether until you have enough to buy a share.
Credit, yeah.
That's not such a big deal when you're dealing with shares where the share price is $1 or $2. But at those big numbers, you can have a lot of money sitting there doing nothing. Meantime, you pay tax on it.
Totally. Mm. Well, there you go. Little quick express chat about...
Very express.
Dividends. Thanks for having a chat about dividends. And hey, if you are an investor, the right way to do it is the right way for you.
That's right.
Thanks, Vince. And thanks to Life Sherpa for getting behind the podcast.
Thank you, Vince.
All right. Bye-bye.